Well, welcome to the online service that we call the Youth Message. But as I say many times, we're all young at heart. So our youth is also our elderly, and our elderly is also our youth, and our children are all of our children. It's just a message that I like to bring to kind of reach out to the youth. But, you know, we're all young at heart, and sometimes we just need a message that just sort of hits us right where we are, like simple. I know about you, but I simple sometimes. This week I'm going to talk about when we are weak. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Hear God's word recorded in the New Living Translation. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his thorn in his flesh. Verse 7. Even though I have received wonderful revelations from God, but to keep me from getting puffed up, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger sent from Satan to torment me and keep me from getting proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, "My gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness." Now, we'll look at another translation there later on. But Paul just understood that it's a message of grace that God has given him. So now he said, "I am glad to boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may work through me. Since I know it's all for Christ's good, I am quite content with my weaknesses and with insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I think most of us emphasize or exaggerate sometimes and sell our strengths while hiding and denying or compensating for our weaknesses. Yet deep inside, we're only too aware of the charade, and we live in, despite fear of our weakness, we'll be exposed. Well, the Apostle Paul discovered that secret of coping with weakness and its dependence on the power of the love of Christ. Our weakness can be confused and accepted, for it will really become maybe opportunities. If we accept our weakness, God can use our weakness for better opportunities. Now, I remember that if I didn't kind of have weakness when I was early on in my life, I would have never got to be to the point where I am now in answering my call to go into ministry. I was weak in so many areas, but God knew that he wanted me to serve him, and then my weakness was dependent on the power and the love of Christ, so I hung on to that. One time, the Board of Ordained Ministry, when they were interviewing me, as many of you know, I'm a recovered alcoholic. In fact, I celebrate 30-some-odd years, July 21st. But one of the fellows that was interviewing me said, "Ralphie boy, you wear your alcoholism as a badge of honor." And I just smiled at him and I said, "No, I don't wear it as a badge of honor. But I do wear it as a testament to God's grace for where he brought me from and to where I am today." You see, those are the kind of opportunities that God can demonstrate for us and in us and with us with the goodness, because we all are filled with goodness. Now, we can confess our weakness openly and celebrate the power of Christ, who loves us and redeems us and uses even our weakness for his glory. But you say, "Oh yeah, but I'm a failure. I've failed many times, and I have too." And it's obvious that none of us can be successful in every area of life. There are a number of things that we do well. We do pretty well at other things, but at times we don't even do those things well. Amen. We let people down. We botch a job. How do we deal with failure? Well, the Apostle Paul in this passage explains a truth that has been an unexpected twist. God often works best through our weaknesses. And in this way, his power is revealed more clearly, and we are prevented from taking credit for what God has done. So if you feel like a failure, take heart. God may be ready to use you to accomplish something very significant for him. Well, you know, this weekend, today, if you're listening to this, I'm recording this on Tuesday, but July the 4th. It's an important day that we celebrate what we call Independence Day. But I've been thinking, you know, here we have Memorial Day that we celebrate and thank God for the people who gave their lives so that we may be free. That's why we are in an attitude of memorial, thanking them for giving their lives so that we may live in a free country. Very similar to what Christ did on the cross. He gave his life so that we could be free of sin. What a joy. And then we got November. We celebrate Veterans Day. And we honor our veterans for their service. Two different kind of holidays, Memorial Day and Veterans Day. We honor the people that gave their lives so we may be free. And then on Veterans Day, we honor the ones who served, who gave up all the things around them to go and serve our country to keep us free. But then we have this little holiday squeezed in the middle called Independence Day. Now, I don't know if much of you really pay much attention to history and the founding of our country. I find it interesting to look at the things and how this day, celebrating and commemorating the day when these 13 little colonies joined to declare their independence from Great Britain. We were under Great Britain's rule for a long time, and these were colonies. In fact, the first time that we were ever referred to as the United States of America was in the Declaration of Independence, which is accepted by the leadership of these 13 little colonies on July the 4th, 1776. July the 3rd, we were a collection of colonies. July the 4th, we were the United States of America. That is why we call July 4th the birthday of our nation, and I hope you take some time to recognize and give thanks God for the blessings we enjoy as a nation. On Memorial Day, we get together and have hot dogs and hamburgers, and on Veterans Day, we kind of do the same thing. But July the 4th is really a day that you can celebrate your freedom and have a happy meal, so to speak, or enjoy family and friends and enjoy the freedom that we have in this country. Now, I think that all holidays can be fun, and sometimes fun comes out of a blooper. I remember this little fellow who was asked to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and he got frustrated. And when he got up and he started the pledge, he blurted out, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one naked individual with liberty and justice for all." Well, one naked individual may be too much liberty for some of us, but I'm sure that this young fellow's heart was in the right place during his recitation, even if his tongue kind of, you know, like let him down. There's also something on the Declaration. Now, I had found this a long time ago, and I just wanted to share it with you because we're celebrating Independence Day, but there's also a Declaration of Dependence. Let me share what that might be. Declaration of dependence upon God and His Holy Bible. And this is what it says. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Since our Creator gave us those rights, we declare that no government has the right to take them away. Among these rights it is to exercise our Christian beliefs and put forth God's Holy Bible. We therefore declare that God grants life at conception, and no one has the right to take that life unless it's in direct threat to the life of the mother. marriage was instituted by God between one man and one woman, the Lord God gave only this family unit the responsibility to have children and raise them in the fear of the Lord. We therefore respectfully reserve the right to refuse any mandate by the government that forces us to fund or support abortion. We also oppose same-sex marriage, polygamy, bestiality, and all other forms of sexual perversion prohibited by the Holy Scriptures. We proclaim that Jesus has provided the cure for all sin and therefore reach out to the sinner in love. But do not embrace the sin, knowing its destructive nature. Therefore, we the undersigned, not only as Christians, but also believing we have the constitutional rights as America to follow these time-honored Christian beliefs, commit to conducting our churches and our ministries, our businesses, and our personal lives in accordance with our Christian faith and choose to obey God rather than man. There was a little website that put this together, and if you ever want to look it up, you can look it up. It's www.dependenceongod.com. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good holiday, and look forward to seeing you at church. We miss you. I love you. God bless. Have a good day.